Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news while working from home, tooling around the garage, homeschooling the kids, whatever. Just tell Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio, our Laura Kelly theme song. You know, without our regular weekly updates from the legislature, we may not hear this as much. Man, you know, we may just have to find Laura Kelly reasons to play her more often, just so we can hear our Laura Kelly theme song. I tell you. So the Kansas legislative Republicans overrode more of Governor Kelly's partisan vetoes in a single day earlier this week than any other time in recent memory. Elections matter, folks. If nothing else, that's what we've proven this week. With us now to recap the veto session is House Majority Leader Dan Hawkins. Dan, nice to have you back on the show again, brother.
You know, John, it's great to be back. I'm almost over the
2 a.m.
lag.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Can you hear me?
Yes. No, yeah, I was going to say the 2 a.m., I'll bet you are.
Yeah, I'm just getting over that lag from that 2 a.m. Ending on Friday evening, Saturday morning, so... You know me, I like to get to bed early and get up early. Well, that didn't work out very well on Friday.
No, I've been through those. I know what they're like. It's not easy.
But, John, I would tell you, don't worry. There'll be plenty coming from Laura Kelly. She always gives us plenty to work with. So
yeah,
don't worry.
She?
You'll have plenty of stuff to work with there.
So, you know, this was a busy veto session with 9 overrides. Laura Kelly must have been thrilled to see that kind of public rebuke of her policies.
Off with their heads!
Off with their heads. That's good.
It was actually pretty good, John. You know, I found it interesting that Jonathan Shoreman with the Eagle, when Governor Kelly did all those vetoes, she did more vetoes than anybody in the last 20 years. But when it came time to report on the veto overrides, she was overridden more than any governor in the last 40 years.
Yeah.
And nobody said anything about that. They only talked about one. And the only veto override they talked about was SB 55, which the Senate lost.
Yeah, the one they failed.
The one they failed. That's the only one they talked about. They didn't talk about her having 9 veto overrides in the House. The most veto overrides in one day ever, I would imagine. I mean, it was just huge.
Well, and let's talk about some of those among the pieces of legislation that you guys were able to save, basically, to override her vetoes on, were the protections of our Second Amendment freedoms contained in 2058. And,
right.
I mean, that one was huge, as well as the simple one, the Gadsden flag. I mean, that's... It's just a simple license plate, Bill. She bought into the whole, you know, malarkey racist rhetoric. You guys saved both of those. I was glad. I'm telling you, on July 1st, I'm going to buy me a Gadsden license plate. Trust me.
Yeah, and by the way, all of our Second Amendment lovers, the Gadsden license plate flag that goes on the license plate, is that particular plate benefits the Kansas State Rifle Association. So we want to go out there and get those on as many cars as we can, pickups, fill the state full with them because that truly helps out our Kansas State Rifle Association, who is the premier defender of the Second Amendment here in Kansas.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, my wife and I are both planning to order one as soon as they become available. If for no other reason, A, we're both Second Amendment supporters, but we also want to it's our way of publicly showing the middle finger to the governor.
You know, a couple of more really important ones, John, were the two elections bills.
I was going to ask you about those, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we were actually pretty sure that we would override one of them, but we didn't know about the other one. The ballot harvesting was one that was, you know, kind of out there that we didn't know that we were going to be able to do. You know, those both of those were come out of the Elections Committee, which is chaired by our good friend Blake Carpenter.
Yep.
Blake has been absolutely phenomenal. I don't know that the people here in South Central Kansas understand what they have with Blake Carpenter. He has truly done some yeoman's work this session. And I want to send kudos out to him because the man has worked his tail off, got two big, big bills across the line, and then they were vetoed, and of course, then we override them. One of them was to stop the governor or the Secretary of State from changing our laws during an election. That's a huge piece, and then the other piece, of course, is the ballot harvesting piece. And then he was... You know what he did on the
the medical marijuana bill.
On the medical marijuana. He truly made a very conservative bill out there, and he worked hard at that. So that guy has truly done phenomenal work this year.
You mentioned the one bill that failed was the Protect Women's and Girls Sports. I should note that the House never had the opportunity to override that veto because it failed to pass in the Senate.
And
it failed there, thanks, and you won't comment on this because you're too much of a diplomat, but it failed over there because of Senator Carolyn McGinn. There were two other senators, but I throw a lot of the weight at Carolyn McGinn there. Experience tells me you aren't likely to try that again next year because nothing's will have changed. But I got to assume that in 2023, after we replace the governor and a few legislators, Carolyn McGinn, you're likely to try and bring that back, wouldn't you think?
Oh, I think so. You know that was a true disappointment to so many people. Not only on the side, I guarantee you the people on the Senate side feel really bad. I remember a year ago when we couldn't pass the value them both, and
right.
The Senate did, and I know exactly how they feel being there and literally having one person stop them from getting that across the line. And of course, our side, we were waiting for it to come over, waiting to take our shot at it, and that was truly one that we all, you know, the whole legislature wanted to, on both sides of the building, wanted to get that overridden. It just didn't happen. So that's a tough situation. We have people here in Sedgwick County. In fact, all of our Republican delegation here in Sedgwick County voted for that when it came through. So we were ready. We were ready for it to come back and to let her have it.
We're talking with House Speaker Dan Hawkins. Also, you mentioned that in addition to the vetoes, but you mentioned a couple of them. You guys passed a few pieces of new legislation. We're going to have Representative Blake Carpenter on in the next hour to give us a little bit of a more in-depth review of the medical marijuana bill. But were you happy with the final product?
You know, I was, and a lot of people don't understand what went into that, and I don't want to steal any of Blake's thunder when he talks about it. So I'm not going to talk specifically about the bill, but I am going to talk about the process, because the process – sometimes it's just as important. Literally, they spent more time on that bill than any other single bill teed up in the House of Representatives outside the budget. The budget's always the big one. But they spent, I think it was 3 days in hearings, and they spent 4 or 5 days working that bill. That bill came out of committee, and when it came out the first time, it wasn't in good shape, had several problems with it, and wisely the speaker sent it back and said, go back to work. And Representative Carpenter, actually Chairman Carpenter, and Representative Garber out of the northeast part of the state literally worked 3 weeks before we got back to veto session. They worked 3 weeks straight negotiating, going over, changing, modifying, making it as conservative as they could, and they came out with a great product. And he'll tell you a lot about that product, but I can't say enough about Blake Carpenter. And then if anybody had the opportunity to watch him carry that bill, that was a 4.5-hour debate on the floor of the House on Wednesday. Started about 10:40, and we went 4.5 hours. I don't know how many amendments came. Some of them didn't make it on. There were some good amendments that did make it on. But when it was over, Blake Carpenter had also showed himself as having a phenomenal command of that bill. And that was a 122-page bill, and it didn't matter what they threw at him on the floor during that debate, he could answer it. I was so impressed. I don't know that anybody carried a bill any better than Blake Carpenter.
Yeah, everything you just said is what I had heard. And you know, I love him dearly. He's a brother, my roommate, my suite mate. I mean, he's just a great guy. But on top of that, I think he really accorded himself. And from what I also heard, he handled the debate really well. I mean, it's very difficult when you're on the House floor and he had to debate conservatives, people that he ideologically was aligned with on most everything else. But in this case, he happened to find himself debating on opposite sides of an issue with people that he normally is ideologically in agreement with, because from what I hear, the Democrats basically sat on their hands through the whole thing. And so that's difficult for somebody, you know?
Well, I think that, you know, the Democrats want the bill. And I think that they knew it was best for them to just let the debate happen on our side, which it did. And that issue crosses all kinds of barriers, John. Oh, yeah. It crosses. There are conservatives that support it. There are moderates that support it. There are liberals that support it. There are Democrats that support it. It crosses every barrier that you can think of politically. And so it was a very respectful debate, but it was a very staunch debate on both sides. They defended their positions well. It didn't make any difference which sides you're on. They defended their positions very, very well. They brought some great amendments. And I truly think at the end of the day, and I think Blake will tell you, the bill is better now than it ever has been. It really looks good.
That's what I hear. Before I let you go, have you heard anything about any interim committees, anything that might be anything we should look for the break, stuff that might happen over the summer?
You know, that's just starting. As you know, the chairman of the chairwomen of the committees will start sending the speaker and the Senate president their kind of wish list of interim committees. I would venture to say that we're going to have some stuff in the health arena. Probably there's a deal out there called a 340B, which is it's a federal program for low income. It's pharmacy. It's the prescriptions that go to low income. And there's a lot of fraud and waste and abuse in that. And there's going to be probably a committee, an interim committee on that. I think that you're going to see continued study on chemo. I don't think chemo is over. I think that we'll still probably have some more things to do with that.
Emergency Management Act, for those who
The Kansas Emergency Management Act. And, of course, you're going to have the ones that we always have. You're going to have a couple of insurance things happen out there. And judiciary always has a lot to do in the interim. So I would say maybe we may not have quite as big of an interim season as we had last year. That last year was a pretty heavy one. But I would still say there's probably going to be 10 or so interim committees that will come about.
Well, maybe when we get those out, we might have you on to give us an update on it. In the meantime, if folks want to, they can go to danhawkinskansas.com. Follow your sign up for your email. That's the best way to get your newsletter there, best way to stay in touch, right?
Absolutely. Go out there and subscribe to that weekly newsletter. As you know, we We couldn't get it out until Saturday this week because we were so late getting out of there. But we did get it out Saturday evening. But go out there and sign up for it. You'll get a lot of good information in that newsletter. And it comes out every week, generally on Friday mornings.
All right, Dan, catch up on your sleep.
Okay, thank you, John.
All right, brother. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open, 316-869-1330. Give us a call. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.